Okay, thank you, folks. I'm thinking about Brother Mike singing in Peace in the Valley, no peace here. Some of you see these Band-Aids on my face. I got to stop this bar fighting. I'm just getting too old for it. I go to the doctor and they find a few reasons to cut something off, and believe me, it would look worse without the Band-Aid. So we'll leave them on, amen. But anyway, that's what happens when you have too many of these things that folks were coming down on this morning, and what they call birthdays. Yeah, I told a doctor, a lady doctor that does it, and she, when I first went in, she said, "Well, hello, preacher." And of course, she's a young married woman now, but I said, "So where do I know you from?" She said, "I went to your Christian grammar school." I said, "In fact, I was in class with your son." in the conversation, and I said, "Well, what do you need?" I said, "Well, nothing a new skin wouldn't fix." She said, "We're going to get one soon." She's a Christian, and she knows the truth of the coming of the Lord. Amen. All right, I want you to go one final time, for a while anyway, to the book of Ezekiel. I'm going to do a summary and a wrap-up and leave it alone. I've been through several chapters, about 36, 7 through 39, and I went some of it verse by verse, but I want you to get the big picture just a little bit, one more time, little review, little wrap-up, because it's just current stuff right now. It's current in the news. And we missed a few times, had Brother Case fill in for us, who done a super job. But just to kind of tie it all together and wrap it up, I thought I would do that. So I'm going to ask you to read concluding verses in the end of chapter 39, starting with about verse 25. And we'll just read down through that, and then I'll come up and try to summarize quickly as I can the last few chapters. Verse 25 of Ezekiel 39, "Therefore," when we see that word, we know something went there before it, amen? "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob." Word Jacob is a synonym for the nation of Israel. "Captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name." Boy, we forget that God cares about his name, don't we? After that they have borne their shame," talking about Israel, "in all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwell safely in their land and none made them afraid, when I brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations. Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God." There's the "I am" that appeared before the burning bush. "Which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen," other nations, "but I have gathered them unto their own land, and I have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them." During the Holocaust, the Jews prayed, "Lord, why are you hiding your face from me? Neither will I hide my face anymore from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God." Now, I want to ask you, as we review these chapters, I want to ask you to just observe the news that's happening now. Even since we started teaching the lessons, things, the pot has boiled. Brother Worth Baldwin back there gave me some stuff this morning. I hadn't even had time to read it. But it's current, having to do with this exact subject, with Russia. And one of the titles here is "Russia Getting Ready for War." And it's talking about them moving their ships into strategic locations. It's talking about them stepping up their nuclear capabilities. It's talking about the shuffling around of their armies as though they're getting ready for war. Well, they are. They really are. Now, is it tomorrow or down the road? It'll be down the road, but it's coming because the Bible says so. And it's got some pictures here, some of their weapons. One of the titles here says, Russia launches massive nuclear war training exercise with 40 million people. They've got the people power, just like China, as far as the big armies go. So all of that I'm going to ask you to watch out for in the current news. This week, talking about escalating things up, if you saw the news this week, our own battleships over in the Persian Gulf and other places being fired on. And that's not going to stop. That's going to increase. No doubt about it. That's going to happen. And the very nation that's gotten so much of our tax money, it's conned us out of it, conned Washington out of it, Iran is yoking up, just like the Bible said, with Russia. We studied that. We started off in about chapter 36 or 7, the chapter of dry bones. Remember that? God gave the analogy in the picture, calling Ezekiel out to the valley of dry bones and asking him the question, could they live? And Ezekiel said, thou knowest. And he watched the bones come together. We even had our young men in the college sing the song, remember? And they're going to have them do it again, sing the song about Ezekiel's bones. It's really cute, but it's really scriptural. That's the rising of Israel again. That's Israel coming back. And so they're coming back to the land, living again. The nation said they're gone, their bones are dry, they'll never live again. But 1948, they raise the flag and come back to the land of Israel. In 1967, really took the Temple Mount back, even though they didn't run the Arabs off of it. They did have the right to. And they're still there in spite of all the wars and all the troubles and all the bad stuff. It's been current news. So what we've seen is the fulfillment in Ezekiel of the bones rising again, just like he predicted. And then we began to study the coalition of nations that began to be put together to move against Israel. And we started studying that in chapter 38, and we had all the names, Gog and Magog, Meshach and Tubal, Meshach, the name of Moscow, the city over there. And then we read there where God was putting hooks in their jaws to pull them down against Israel. And Persia, which was Iran, mentioned, and Ethiopia and Libya and all the names that you're studying about, hearing about in the news today, began to be named here. And got to remember when they were named. They were named over around 2,600 years ago, before there was a nation called Russia. Ezekiel wrote this. That's the word of God. No other book can do that. And yet we see the fulfillment of what was written. Ezekiel was written 500 to 700 years before Christ was born and lived and was crucified and rose again. So that's how old the writing is. And Ezekiel's tomb was over there in the Damascus area and Babylon area, Baghdad, that area. And ISIS has been going in there destroying a lot of the historical places. I have not read for sure if they destroyed Ezekiel's tomb. They did some others. Really, really bad time. But Ezekiel was a real prophet of God, lived about the same time Jeremiah did, and they both prophesied the same message. On the judgment that was coming from the Lord. Now, a lot of things happening current-wise, but already been predicted in the Word of God. Now, in chapter 38, we saw the alignment of the nations. That's important. Interesting that some of those nations, for instance, it's called Persia here. It's Iran now. The name changed about 100 years ago to Iran. Now, it talks about hooks in the jaws of pulling them down. That sort of means this. Circumstances are pulling them. They're not necessarily, I don't think that Prime Minister Putin or some of the other leaders are wanting to do a big nuclear war, but they're being pulled that way. And it's amazing. Part of the pull is some of the stupid stuff America does. And for instance, we had our president draw the red line in the sand. Remember that? And he said, okay, Assad's got to go. Well, Russia says, that's my friend, and he's not going to go. So we are now, right now, bumping heads with Russia over the ruler of Syria. And Syria, of course, plays a big part in this group of nations. And so the confrontation is getting worse and worse. And it's even in the last few weeks, it's really showing up in the news. What you have happening right now, if you probably know this politically, but you had a rebel force trying to overthrow the government of Assad. Now, he's a bad guy. But the Christians in Syria, they've had to try to flee. We have given them hardly any help from America at all. We have helped the Sunni Muslims, who are the bad guys as a whole. They're even worse than the Shiite Muslims, who they fight themselves, among themselves. But the Sunni Muslims is that crowd that has produced the head cutters, the ones burning people in the cages and drowning them in the cages and boiling them in oil. And all those things are going on, and that Sunni Muslim religion that we are not willing to name in America, and are receiving more refugees of that cult, part of Islam, main part of Islam, receiving more of those into our borders and into the European borders than any other group. In fact, the Christians running from the war are hardly even equaling 1% that's finding refuge in America and in Europe. But the Sunni Muslims that'll come over here and plant the bombs and do the terrorist acts, they're the ones we've opened the door to, and it's amazing. And in the election coming up, Hillary is promising to open it even wider and have it even more. Now, you ought to know, I'm not, that's not bias on my part, that's just fact. Even by our own statements, that's fact. And so things aren't gonna get better. And while a lot of folks think right now, and I'm gonna say a few things politically, and I may even say some more tonight. In fact, I can't hardly preach without saying something about it, I know that. I've always tried to take the Bible and apply it to what was going on and read oftentimes ahead in the Word of God how some things are gonna turn out. So I don't apologize for it. I think any preacher worth his salt has to do that, to tell you the truth. But anyhow, get off of that a little bit. But I want to say that Hillary may be more dangerous right now for nuclear war with Russia than Trump is. Now, here's why. You heard it in the debate the other night. What would you do about Assad and Russia? Well, I'd have a no-fly zone. No-fly zone, but Russia's already flying in it. So you're going to go out and have a confrontation, and we're going to have a shoot 'em up in the sky, and one button leads to another button, and it's a bigger gun and a bigger gun until finally the nuclear button is pushed. That is the scenario that's building. It's building pretty fast. The confrontation thing is coming up. Again, I see the hooks and the jaws that once it starts, it'll head on down to Israel, and the destruction of Russia and the coalition will take place not on the mountains of America, but on the mountains of Israel, as we studied here in these chapters. And God will deal with it supernaturally. He will have hailstones come out of heaven, and he will destroy them all but a sixth part. We studied that. I'm summarizing now to remember that part of it. And the chapter 39 is the destruction from God. The hailstones are mentioned in the last part of chapter 38 and comes on down. Now, that's a phenomenon, and I mentioned to you before, even in current news, on occasion, hailstones come up. I'm going to repeat it in case you don't remember it. Right over here in Tampa, Florida, in the middle of the city, one day with a car sitting right there, parked, thankfully nobody in it, about a 75-pound hailstone fell out of the sky, hit the top of the car, and crushed it. It was on the news that night. Some of you might remember that. I told you before, right after World War II, after the nuclear bombs had been dropped on Japan, we come back after World War II, still doing our nuclear tests, which we still have at times. And we went over and set up some targets in the Bikini Islands. Now, I guess the word bikini means small. Anyway, I know where your mind goes on that. Anyhow, small islands. And they parked battleships, rusty old battleships that they were retiring from World War II. They parked them out there as targets to see what a nuclear bomb test would do on those battleships. And they dropped the bomb on it. And they went back to see the destruction that the bomb caused on those battleships. And to their discovery, the biggest damage to that plate metal on those ships was not from the bomb itself, but from the atmospheric conditions that was created and the big hailstones that fell on the ship. So when we read in Ezekiel then about God using hailstones to destroy the armies of Russia and this coalition on the mountains of Israel, we know it's nuclear. We know it is. Men don't make big nuclear weapons like they've made today and not use them. They are, sooner or later, going to play with the toys they've made. And that's sad, but it's going to happen. Now, not only in the book of Ezekiel, but we have in the book of Zechariah a exact description of what happens in a nuclear exchange when the nuclear bombs or missiles, warheads, are dropped. And God describes it in the book of Ezekiel. Some of you look like you're full of unbelief. Let's go to the book of Zechariah. I want you to see what I'm talking about. Go over to the last chapter of the book of Zechariah, and I'm going to help you find Zechariah. Go to the empty place between the New Testament and the Old Testament. Turn back to your left, and you're going to have the last book of the Old Testament, which is Malachi. Then you're going to turn again, and you come into the book of Zechariah. In Zechariah, the 14th chapter, that's the last chapter, so easy to find, but I want you to find it, so I read it here. This is a day when God is intervening now, and he is going to do that. And verse 12, I'll jump into it there. The Lord is talking about the plague that he is going to send. Now, when we think of plague, we generally think of the bubonic plague or some kind of disease, but this is a nuclear plague that the Lord is talking about, because the context demands that assumption. Look at it in verse 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Who is it going to be? This crowd that's gathered to fight against Jerusalem, the Jews. All right, the enemy here now. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. And they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. Now, God used this method in the Bible before, make the enemy turn on the enemy and fight each other. However, verse 12 is almost you can't hardly make it any more descriptive than what you can go to the library and find as to what happened when the bombs were dropped on the two cities in Japan. Nagasaki and Hiroshima had the bombs dropped on them, and the terrible devastation. However, those bombs were pea size compared to the ones we got now and the ones Russia and other nations have got. Far as destructive power, they would be like a pea to a football in compared to the power that is now been invented. And if you go, though, and I've told you this before, but I was teaching on a Wednesday night, first church I pastored. I pastored 3 years up in Sumter County, and I was teaching on a Wednesday night, and somehow I was on this subject, and I read about this plague here in Zechariah, and I had a young man at that time coming who was a school teacher, very educated and very smart, clean living young man. He had married one of the girls of the church family. In fact, she was one of the main piano players. He'd come occasionally, but he didn't believe. And he was not a Christian, and he was skeptical. He was very skeptical. I talked with him a time or two at different times, and he was very skeptical. And on that night, as a lost man, when the service was over, he challenged me that that could be the description of a nuclear bomb. And so, knowing he was a school teacher, math teacher, I said, how about going to your library tomorrow? Look up the books on World War II and look up on the bombs being dropped on Japan and come back and tell me what you read. So sure enough, he did. And about Sunday night, when I was able to get with him, he said, preacher, I guess I owe you an apology. He said it read just like the Bible. And we talked about it. Now, cut to the bottom line, not too long later, less than a year later, he did get saved and actually became a deacon in the church. So, but the Bible, when it's challenged and you really check out the information, it'll stand up. It'll always stand up. It'll always be truth. And in that case, we talked about how that a soldier guarding a gate, when that explosion hit, he didn't even fall to the ground. He became petrified. And the eyes in his socket were gone, just like it's described right here. And in great detail, we see what this says. It says they will consume away while they stand upon their feet, petrified in many cases where they didn't even fall. Their eyes consume away in their holes, and their tongue consume away in their mouth. Now, that's a terrible, terrible thing. And yet mankind knows how bad it is, and yet we're drawing closer and closer and closer to something much worse. And God is going to intervene. Now, if you watch much of the offbeat programs on TV, you'll watch where they're got the unexplained NASA files, and you've got alien stuff. Can I tell? I shouldn't tell this. This is on the radio. Well, I started it. Last Sunday morning was Roundup Sunday, and we had a good day. Now, normally when I get through preaching, I go to the door back there and shake hands with a few of you that don't dodge me. Anyway, that particular morning, since it was Roundup Sunday, the sheriff comes down and we take pictures over here in the corner. So I didn't go to the door. I stepped here in front of the communion table. Now, I got to be careful. I'm going to make some skeptics of what I'm fixing to say to you. But I stepped right down here, and the crowd was breaking up and fellowshipping, and some coming, getting ready to line up for the sheriff's pictures. All of a sudden, I looked up, and there was a clean-cut-looking guy standing right in front of me, no shirt and tie coat, but clean-cut, nice-looking guy. Brother Bob, he was just about your size. Maybe not quite as good-looking as you are, but pretty good. I'm playing with Bob a little bit. But anyway, I ripped on it. Roundup Sunday, I ripped on it pretty rough. And he's looking me right in the eye, and he said, preacher, you're into more truth than you think. Now, how many of you remember what I preached on Sunday morning, Roundup Sunday? Now, don't raise your hand, because I might call on you. Do you remember that I preached on the sheep and goat judgment? Matthew 25, when the Lord comes back and he calls the nations before him. Remember that? So this man looked me right in the eye, and here's what he said. You may be on the more truth than you think. He said, I have worked for the United Nations. I've been all over the place. He said, I know what's going on. And he said, you'll be surprised to know that in a lot of countries, they know more about Jesus Christ and what you preached about than you think. Well, that caught my attention. Stranger saying that caught my attention, so I was looking right at him. I said, well, I'd sure like to talk to you a little further. And he said this, and this is where you're going to turn me off right now. And that's what he said. You make out of whatever you want to. He said, "Preacher, there's aliens among us." He didn't say illegal aliens, so he might have not been talking about those slipping in the borders. He said, "Preacher, there's aliens among us." And he said, "Most of them know about Jesus Christ also." About that time, somebody grabbed me by the arm and said, "The sheriff's waiting. Got to get these pictures made." Now I'm going to get spooky with you here just a little bit. I said, you know, I took off to go to make pictures. And then I looked around. I wanted to see where that guy went. I couldn't see him. He was gone by the time I turned around. Now, is he here this morning? I don't think so. Anyway, said, "Well, he's just probably just a man that dropped by to visit and had a word to say." I know. But I want to say to you, there are more people in the world knowing about this truth I preached on Sunday morning, that Jesus is coming back. There is going to be a judgment called, and he is going to make some decisions among the nations. And the nations right now are preparing for this nuclear war. And I don't know what you believe about aliens or whatever. I the Pope says they might, that he might baptize them if they show up. He did say that. He did say that. I'm not lying about that. That's not spooky at all. That's just foolishness. But anyway, this big thing I'm reading about here is going to happen. Things are, they're confronting each other right now. How will this pass? Will somebody kick the can down the road again? Probably so, but it's been kicked down the road a long time. It really has. And sooner or later, what the Bible said is going to happen. And this coalition of nations are going to move on the mountains of Israel and meet their destruction, not at the missiles America is shooting at them, if we are, but by the hand of God when he drops the hailstones and the other stuff that he's going to deal with. I don't know where America fits in that. I would like to think this. And I've gotten off of what I wanted to do here a little bit, but I'd like to think this. I'd like to think the reason we don't read something very clear about America in the Bible, we are still at this point considered a world power, probably the greatest world power, even though that's up for question right now between China and Russia and us. But if the rapture took place, you know what I mean by the rapture? All the saved people caught out. You'd be surprised how that would cripple America. It would cripple our military. It would cripple our scientists. It'd cripple even NASA over there. I've told you a story before, sitting in the seats on the airplane side of a NASA scientist that was a born-again man, and we just shared things about the Lord. There's saved people in places you don't think. And whoever the guy was that come up to that and gave me that message Sunday morning, whoever he was telling me there's more saved people than you think. There's more people know about Jesus Christ than you think. Even in high places is what he was basically saying. And I believe that. And I believe if the rapture took place, America would be a crippled nation. We would not be a world power. And it might make all the difference in the world. But God is going to intervene when this coalition of nations that we studied here in Ezekiel moves against the nation of Israel. Now, we ask the question, why? Why these nations? You read in the text here, he called them out of their enemy's land. They were the enemies of the Jews. For Russia, for instance, they had the pogroms. You know what I'm talking about by that? That was the underground type black writings against Jews. And Jews were so persecuted. Why they put out such false statements in those pogroms against the Jews, much like Hitler did to stir up the people against the Jews. One of the things they said the Jews did was steal little kids and take their blood and offer them as Passover blood. That's what one of the pogroms said. They brainwashed the people to be anti-Jew, and the Jews suffered greatly under the lands that Russia ruled. greatly in these other lands, very greatly. And of course, then Germany was the ultimate one, with 6 million of them being burned in the ovens. But God hadn't overlooked any of that. And now when the judgment time comes on these nations, he is going to deal with them, remembering, as I was preaching Sunday morning on the sheep and goat nations, how they had treated his brethren. Jesus was a Jew. He was a Jew. And he's talked about that. Muslim lands right now are the ones that are, the Quran itself, supposed to be a holy book. It's about as holy as my big toe. Supposed to be a holy book. Well, it teaches the Jews are pigs. It teaches kill every Jew you can. And yet in America, we're trying to, in our schools, get our kids to accept it as a holy book, even on equal ground with the Bible and all that. And that's so foolish. It's anti-Jew. It is anti-Christian. And it is very much anti-American, the way they practice it today. But the chapter 39, the destruction comes from God. It will be nuclear. Say, how you know it's nuclear? Well, I told you some reasons, but if you were to look in verses 12 through 15 in chapter 39, you'd find out after this judgment falls that the land has to be cleansed. Radiation. It has to be cleansed. Even if a man is going through the desert or wherever and he sees a bone, he don't touch it. He calls for the authorities because of radiation. That's all in your text that we studied, remember? And so I want you to just have a summary of what we did go through in about three chapters here in the book of Ezekiel and how current it is with what is being in your news today. And when I get a chance to read all of what Brother Worth gave me a while ago, it's going to be interesting, but what we see is the nations jockeying around, moving their troops, moving their ships, moving their missile sites for war. Do they want it? Probably on a human level? No, but here's what happens. Each one fears the other one's going to strike first. So sooner or later, somebody is going to strike. In the days of Ronald Reagan and Gorbachev was convinced by his spies that we were going to strike first. Reagan went to him personally and sat with him in Helsinki, across from a little fireplace in a cabin, looked him in the eye and told him, Russia has nothing we want. We're not fixing to strike you first. And they say we were really close to a first strike at that point. Now, apparently, we're just as close, closer again than we were even then. But if you're saved, this is the book that tells you ahead of time. Say, well, where's my fallout shelter? This is it. We're not going to get in a hole in the ground. We're going up through a hole in the sky. That's what Jesus is going to do when he comes back for us. Amen. All right, time's up. I'll try to give you a Sunday school report here. We have 7 or 8 minutes before the preaching service starts. Well, we dropped some, went down to 7:49 in Sunday school. I'm hoping to get that up soon. Stay with us for the preaching service. Hope you will.